October the 14th, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com and you will be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Bones are symbolic of universal principles. The Quran surahs 75, Ayah 3. Does man think we cannot assemble his bones? The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 78. Who can give life to dry bones? Ezekiel 3:10. Prophet upon prophecy upon these bones. Now, I'm talking to you, flesh cannot enter the kingdom. But according to Prophet Ezekiel, the bones got together and the bones stood up out of the valley of death. Flesh comes brown, red, black, and yellow. Bones all come white. All of us have the same admission ticket. You have to have the original principle of truth, righteousness, and justice that God gives you from your very beginning. God inspired in man, though his conscience or movement up the ladder of strong moral principles, virtues, justice, and righteousness, unless you have that construction, unless you have the construction of those bones of principle to hold up your flesh, you cannot enter the kingdom. And those universal principles of justice, of virtuous or moral excellence, of human excellence, they are the same all over the world. If you stand a black man's truth up, it looks just like a white man's truth. It has truth indeed. So those are the bones that I must uphold. So the life of the hereafter, the Quran, Surah 17, Ayah 51. All created matter which is more, which in your mind is hardest to be raised up, yet shall you be raised up. Then they will say, who will cause us to return? Say, he who created you first. Then will they wag their heads towards thee and say, when is that to be? Say, maybe it will be quite soon. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the holy book, the Quran? Is it indeed true that when we have died and become dust in the grave, that this God is going to raise us up? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his holy book, tell them, even though you be less than bones, though you be less than dust, still you are going to be raised up. It says, tell them it is not just a promise, that this is more than a promise, that this is a necessity. It is what Allah says in the Quran, that it is more than a promise from God. It is a necessity so that justice will prevail. Resurrection must restore humanism. It is a necessity that the knowledge that God originally designed in human nature for man to grow up with must be restored to him, that he must be given back those human principles that will uphold his flesh, that will make his environment safe from racism, from color consciousness. He must return to human principles, principles dictated from the very substance, from the very design of his true human nature. Every man is black, meaning natural. Oh, and who is this natural man that God made from the very beginning, whose conscience tells him the right steps to make in life? That is the original black man. Why do you call him black when you say that all men are accepted before God? All men are black when they are in their original nature. What is this strange terminology that you are using today, W.D. Muhammad? It is a true understanding in your Bible. It is a true understanding in the Holy Quran. That is what I'm talking about. This is not my language. This is the language revealed to prophets by God. And I am telling you that Almighty God says in the Bible and in the Holy Quran that every man, every woman is true and black if they are in their original nature. So black means follow human moral nature. What does it mean to be black? Black means to trust the life that God put in you from the beginning. To trust my human nature, that is being black. To trust the voice of my moral nature that tells me not to lie, that tells me not to mistreat people, to trust the voice in my natural life. It tells me not to shortchange brothers because he is not of my flesh. The right to do the right by everybody. I don't need a gospel to tell me that. I don't need a Torah to tell me that. I don't need even a Holy Quran to tell me that. Before Torah, before gospel, and before the Holy Quran. I was told that through my human nature. Human nature is what taught me to follow the right road, to follow the road of truth and justice, and turn away from the road of lies and injustice. The human being tells him that. Resurrection of the dead on good. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 3 to 4. Resurrect the dead. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 46. Resurrection seems like night or day. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 23. Family members joined in the hereafter. Bukhari, page 9, 532b. Believers intercede people out of hell. So this soul, this is what lives. This will be resurrected. And whatever of your life that conformed to that was a good complement to this, that will be you in the resurrection. I used to wonder about resurrection of the dead. I knew the dead are resurrected. I know there is eternal life. But I don't believe anymore only. I know that this is a resurrection of the dead, and there is an eternal life. The language is addressing this world that we live in now, even in its symbolism and mystery about heaven and about the drink in heaven. They will drink of water like Kampura, and they will drink of the water of Sesabi. All these names have reference to this life. Everything has reference to this life here on earth that we live right now. But the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, he didn't tell us disbelieve. in the hereafter. He said that whatever is in the print, in the Quran, also has his own teaching. His own words have a direct reference and an implied one. So if we get one, there is still another. So if I have connected the language of the Quran or the language of the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, with my life presently, I must understand that there is another connection. That other connection is the life eternal. Soul lives forever, body dies. So the soul lives forever, so we may die. But the original soul lives forever. But if we dress our life up to conform to the original soul, we will be resurrected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they think they can't be reproduced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he will reproduce your fingerprint with the design there just like it is. So I'm a believer. I do not question it. And if I do not understand it, I do not bother it. I wait until I can understand it. And not only that, your relative, the sister asked about the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sister, that your relatives too, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed to have a new world life. Let me tell you what it will be. God has blessed me to know it's not going to be in this world as you see it now. One day this universe is going to go away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reproduce this whole universe. The sun will be gone. The moon will be gone. Now you might say, this is trillions and billions of light years away. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the soul that dies, when they wake up in this new world, they will say, it looks like it only was one night or a day, because you don't have any time when you die. Time is gone. So you will be awakened, and you will think that you just went to sleep and woke up, and it will be a new creation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of this that you are looking at is perishable, he revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that all of that we're looking at is passing away. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, everything is passing away. Science hadn't yet discovered, but now science says the sun is dying. It says that the whole universe is going to go away, and the energy is going to collapse upon itself, and the face of it is going to make it spring out again into a flame and into energy and create a new universe. So that is their theory now. But where did they get it? Where did they get the inspiration from? You think they would acknowledge to you and say, yes, we were reading the Quran, and we thought about it. So this is a good theory. Or we read the Bible and we thought about it, and this is a good theory. They won't acknowledge that. They keep the two separate. They won't acknowledge that. And that is why their world stays messed up. If they ever come straight, we will see a much more beautiful world than we see now. If they come straight with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be resurrected, and your family members who have passed away, they will be resurrected. And if you love your family members enough, just your love for them will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them for a lot of their wrongs, pardon me, and join them back with you. And the time will be only like one night passed. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 7 to 9, sun and the moon together. At length, when the sight is dazed, and the moon is buried in darkness, and the sun and the moon are joined together. Masjid al-Masiba, page 2, 1051. Intellect, no better gift. Now narrated Abu Huraira, the Prophet, present and peace be upon him, said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the intelligent, he told it to stand up and it did so. Then he told it to turn its back and it did so. Then he told it to face and it did so. Then told it to set and it did so. He then said, I have created nothing better or more excellent or finer than you. By you I shall receive, and by you I shall give, and by you I shall know, and by you I shall reprove, and by you rewards will be gained, and by opposing you punishment will be received. So the moon is symbolic of scholars and scientists. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 7 to 8, cite confused days. So the question is asked, when is the day of resurrection? The Holy Quran says, when the sight is confused and you think you are seeing now, and you boastfully, because you say you see, you say your knowledge is sound, so you think. But when that knowledge runs into something else, that's going to shake it right to its foundation, you are going to become confused. At that time, you won't be as rigid as bone. The book also says that moon becomes dark. So you've been following your light. The moon of their world is symbolic of their leaders, their scholars, and their scientists. So when the moon becomes dark, it means when your scholars and scientists become dark and they can't even help you to get out of the darkness and confusion of the knowledge. When the sun and the moon are brought together and the knowledge and your scholars become one, man will ask on that day where to flee. No, there is no refuge. The moon and the moon, pardon me, the sun and the moon is given with a double message. One message is saying to those who boast in their knowledge that there is coming a time when your knowledge is going to fail you. The leader of the knowledge that you look to are going to fail you too. You're going to see them both as one, meaning one can't help the other, and one is no better than the other. So something else is going to take place that is not given here, but is here as a hint, as a hidden hint. Sun, moon together means revelation, and the prophets are one. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 9, sun and the moon together. But there is going to come a time when the messenger and the revelation shall come together as one. You are going to see that there is one message and one messenger, that the sun and the moon coming together. So the sun and the moon came together in the Holy Quran. The messenger of the most important prophets are given in the Quran. And all of them are given as a message of Islam. So Muhammad, the completion of all prophets. The last messenger is given here as Muhammad, and he is called the completion of the messenger. So he stands as all the messengers combined into one. So he takes all the scriptures of those messengers and show them as one. So you have the man, the messenger, and you have the revelation, which is the Son, is one. So when they are brought together, sun and the moon, man will ask on that day, where is there to flee? The argument is ended. They have been picking up their particular man, causing confusion in religion. But what will be able to do when he shows you that this is one book and one man? The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 24 to 30. One leg will be joined to the other. The Quran, Surah 68, Ayat 42, shin exposed, tayammum, withstand, to stop superstition, thinking that water has some spooky powers. So water stands for man's moral and spiritual nature. Earth stands for man's logical mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the revelation of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the messenger to all people. He says to us regarding ablution that if you cannot find suitable water, use clean earth. Do you think that this is only clearing up the problem for simple people? No, indeed. It is also clearing up the problem for the intellectuals and the religion. On the common knowledge level, what is it saying to us? It is saying that religion with God is not spooky. It is rational. There's nothing spooky about the water. Don't think that you can't make ablution without water. The water has no spooky power. In the world, some of the religious people come to believe that the water has spooky power. And aren't they, their religious people, right now, believing that water has some spooky powers? Haven't you, in your time, heard that they go over to the Middle East, to the Jordan, Zamzam, and come back here with water, and they sell it for high prices, thinking it has some spooky power? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the water is good and best for cleaning, but it has no spooky powers. Your prayers will still be accepted. If you can't find suitable water, use clean earth. If you find clean sand, rub it in your hands, and it can clean your head, your hands, pardon me. And after you cleanse your hands, you can take the clean hand and wipe your face. So you can clean your body with clean sand. So if you can't find any clean sand, if you know that a stone is clean, can't you rub your hand on that stone and clean it? If there are some clean corn stalks and you are out in the field and the earth is muddy, couldn't you take the corn stalk and clean your hands? Yes. So tayammum means using clean something from the earth to take off dirt. What does it say to people on a higher level of religious understanding? They have secret symbolic teachings where the water stands for something and the earth stands for something. So the water stands for man's moral and spiritual nature. The earth stands for man's logical mind, the purely rational side of the man. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us in teaching on ablution? He is telling us that human knowledge cleans us. That is moral knowledge, spiritual excellence, moral excellence cleans us. But also rational knowledge cleans us. Hasn't many of our good morals come to us from man who was not looking for morals? They were looking for rational, logical conclusion. But the logical conclusion also gave us knowledge. for moral excellence. So our morals just don't come from the human excellence. The morals also come from search. One feeds the other as the two legs. One advances the other. The right leg moves up to bring the left leg up. So the left leg moves up to bring the right leg up. This is Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the sinners shall be marshaled with their legs tied together. What does that mean? You will have no power to enter into discussion with God to justify your wrong. You won't be able to hide one truth and project half of it like you do in this life. You hide the right leg and talk about the left one. Or you hide the left leg and talk about the right one. You get on a rational issue and you demand that we say, you demand that we say right on the cut and the dry rational point. You say don't let any morals come into this. So we are not talking about the moral aspect. So when we face God, your total life shall be together before you, before him. You won't be able to hide the moral evidence while projecting the cut in the dry rational lie. And those who say religion is all spookism, they won't be able to hide the logical fact while pretending to establish a truth upon spookism. Your taqwa riches me, not your blood. Abraham sacrificed not his son, but a lamb. So blood sacrifice stopped Jesus on cross. Shin bone laid bare. Bare means expose the real issue. Do you see how beautiful the religion is? Quran says, they shall be marshaled before the judgment with their legs together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that the shin bone shall be bared. There is only a thin skin over the shin bone. It doesn't have a lot of flesh on it. Quran says that the shin bone, shall be exposed. What is under the skin? The strong support. On the outside is the little weak cover. A lot of people won't talk about the covering, but they won't get to the heart of the matter. They just talk about the superficial, but won't get into the issue. God is going to bear the sin. You are going to have to talk about the real issue. So the religious leadership, don't they avoid the real issue when you challenge them to ask, isn't it wrong that you worship flesh and blood? Isn't it wrong that you worship blood sacrifice? When God told the prophet before the New Testament that you shall not make blood sacrifices, that God wants not that kind of sacrifice. The sacrifice that he wants is obedience. Why have you brought that blood sacrifice, something that was stopped by Prophet Abraham and other prophets who came behind him? You still have it in religion. They want to go to the heart of the matter. They will start talking about the superficial things, and they will hide part of the argument while trying to establish an excuse. Al-Ablushan tells us that the human being is a total life, a complete entity, that he is not two people. He is one person. Trinity started in Egypt, in Egyptian rulers' monuments. Dualism, nature, worship, were steps in man's growth. I was in Egypt looking at some of the ancient monuments there, And I saw the symbolism that I believe came into the religion because people were ignorant and wouldn't keep God's guidance. They just came to the conclusion that this was it, and they introduced it into the religion, dualism. So when you study the religious history of most of the people of the world, you will find that they have practiced at some time dualism and nature worship. These are steps in man's growth. They see things and they seem to be the answer. And they come to the conclusion that they are the answer. But if you remain faithful, you eventually grow up out of those simple things that were wrong, and we come to a right understanding. There, they have a status of the man ruler, and they have for his legs two sons. His right leg is one son, and his left leg is another son. So these are two people in his body. He's making the third. So you have one form of Trinitarianism in Christianity, but believe me that Trinitarian things is all over. People have gone wrong. Not that everybody worshiped three gods in one, but practically everywhere. I know religion to have been, they all have a concept that involves three principles or three essentials or important figures. For Christianity, it is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the Quran, Surah 76, Ayat 6, servant of God. God sent prophets to us who told us. They introduced themselves to us as God's servant, and they are our models. They are our leaders to teach us that all of us should be God's servants. Allah has complete control over the human being. The Quran, Surah 76, Ayat 30. There is no willing except as God wills. Believe it or not, God has more control over the mind and thinking and spirit and power of human beings than they have over themselves. God has more control over human beings than that human being has over himself. He can't even think in a way that God doesn't want him to think. If God doesn't want him to think that way, he can't think that way. God doesn't have to kill anybody. He just prevents you from causing trouble. Prevents you from making any problems for him. He doesn't have to kill you. He controls your thinking. And everything, anytime he wants to, he can control your thinking, and you can't. He can make you happy with thinking that you perhaps, without him interfering with your thinking or with your mind, you would be so better. So bitter and so enraged, you would probably be going at something to kill it. He can deal with your thinking and have you go to it and kiss him. God is the living God, and he is present all the time, and he is in your mind and in your life more than you are in your mind and in your life. That goes for every human being on earth. He is in their mind, in their spirit, in their life more than they are. So how can they cause trouble for him? And he doesn't want it. As long as we continue to be the person, believers, God is not going to let anything happen to harm us. Nothing is going to happen to us but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen. Milk symbolic of kind believers. Breast milk for the baby looks similar to the sperm. Germ that started its life. The Quran, Surah 77, Ayah 20, man from a fluid, water dispensed. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 29, kind to believers, hard against the disbeliever. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 14, baby weaned on milk for 2 years. The Quran, Surah 97, Ayah 4, angels descend on every urn. So when life comes, the baby needs food, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mother naturally to have food ready for the baby when the baby comes. So the breast fills up with the food for the baby. The baby comes and there is the milk from the human mother, not a cow of the world, from the human mother. And the life of the baby is sustained. And the baby is comforted. The hunger is removed. And the baby begins to grow and increase as a human flesh and blood body, right? And it is given milk, something liquid, resembling how the life started. Some of this milk now looks so cheap until it really looks like a poor man's sperm, almost water. So you need to eat some beef, man. His sperm is almost water. So the angels and the spirit that descended in the night when the revelation came to Muhammad, and they are rejoicing. They are listening to Imam W.D. Muhammad, just like you, but they hear much more than you hear. They are just rejoicing as God blesses me to communicate these things to you. So the Muslims are told, those who stand in the way of the light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to be firm against them, but love you one another and be as soft as milk on the believers. Isn't that beautiful? There is a big message in that. Be as soft as milk. So when we are trying to get the believer to go or move the way you want them to go, don't get angry, hostile, and mean, and start speaking down to them and beating them over the head with something that hurts, like a solid rock or something like a club. No, be as soft as milk. As milk means be by them like the mother was by her baby when she was giving him milk from her breast. Go back to the time of the milk feeding and be kind like the human life is when it is serving in its purpose in that time. Isn't that wonderful? See how so much is given in just one word, milk? Look how rich milk is in its language of communicating God's guidance to us. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you get that understanding if you don't make connections? You have to connect milk and what happened at that time of milking or feeding milk to the baby. You have to connect that scene. And what is happening there with is what God is addressing. Don't be harsh on believers. Don't be talking to them so rough. Don't be treating them as something hard that you can't reach with softness. Remember, when you were an infant in the care of women, mothers, she was feeding you milk. She held you so gently and so tenderly. So this is wonderful. The Quran, Surah 77, Ayah 21, sperm, place of rest firmly fixed. Urge and intellect needs a womb. So the urge and the intellect needs a womb. The female here represents the state of the mind that has to be in order for that proper womb to be there, for that urge to develop properly. In concluding what, in awareness of our development nature, and that kind of awareness is a wound for the intellectual urge to develop in. So when we become aware of our developmental nature, we know that we have to have a social environment. A certain social concern must be existing in the person in order for the urge and the intellect to grow man and to manifest in the form of civilization. We know that. I think that this is very clear for some of you, that it is not clear. Heaven's sperm, the Quran, Surah 77, Ayah 21, sperm put in a place of rest firmly fixed. That which we put in a place of rest firmly fixed. The creation of the human being needs what first? Peace and quiet. God says the life germ, sperm of man, is placed in a female, and it is put in a situation where it is safe and at peace, protected from noise and trouble, safe, at peace. And because God has created a situation like that for the life germ, that life germ completes itself and gives us a whole person, physically male and female. What a great production. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that production is made possible because it is placed in a situation where it is at peace and protected from harm and trouble. And we are told that the story that we all begin our existence in paradise. So we were conceived and then put in the world to produce. Conceived in paradise, and then put into the world to produce. And we were able to produce because we were conceived in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us from a peaceful state, free of burden, not hurting, pain. And then he put us in the work field to work, and we are able to produce because we were formed in heaven. So heaven forming humans now by Islamic teachings of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. So these people who are being formed in the hills of the street, can't you see how come they are not productive? Why they cannot contribute to the CPC contract, to the establishment, to structures in their neighborhoods? They offer nothing because they were created in hell. But if we remain devoted to this religion, we will create an environment like this. We are being formed in heaven right now. For those who are sensitive to what is happening in this room. So we have been formed in heaven right now. And we can go in the world and be productive. They won't cripple us with their sins, and our souls will be sensitive to the need of human life, and each one will go his own way to his own interests, and we all will contribute to the building of a new world. And it is happening all the time. It is not to come. So when we look at the objective world, we see two worlds, not just one. Shouldn't we see our world, the world of righteous trying to obey God, and the world of those who don't care? Don't let the world of those who don't care dampen our spirit or hurt us in any way. Let us keep our own world in our eyes so our own world feeds our life. It says, don't even gaze upon the wicked world. Because if you turn your eyes and look at that focus, you are going to be fed by the wrong thing. So you will have the wrong spirit coming into your life. So keep your vision eyes focused on your life and your world, and that will keep you strong to survive all the harm from the things that are happening in the world of the ungodly. The devil is constantly trying to build a world of the ungodly so that it will choke out our life and we will have no place to live. But he is going to fail. He is failing. And he is going to continue to fail. The Quran, Surah 77, Ayah 25, earth drawn together, living and dead. So God made earth to resting, a resting place for us, for our grouping together and our sojourn. Here in the earth is where we pursue our goals. Adam wasn't rejected, Iblis was rejected. So the Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 40, man controlled desire. So we know that these trying times state for man the passion. So God says of that passionate self, my passionate self, that it is subject to corruption, that it comes by corruption except for those whom God has shown his mercy. So Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, was affected by that world, by the negative influences of the world, but remained in the perfect state that God created him before even revelation came to him. And what did he credit with his success, with him being protected? The mercy of God, because they asked him, and they said, is that also true for you? He said, yes, that he too was saved only because of the mercy of God. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayat 42-4, asks you about last hour. You will know what time it is by God's clock, not by yours. So you will know what time it is by God's clock, without us being able to predict the end of that time. And the end came. The end came. The great Soviet Union was dismantled. So the Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 1, he frowned and turned away. Now, how many men who are trying to establish themselves as perfect leaders for the society that God is speaking will say that God created me today because I made a mistake? Pardon me. Say that God corrected me today because I made a mistake. The Holy Quran says he frowned and turned away. It's talking about Prophet Muhammad himself. Here is Prophet Muhammad speaking with his mouth what God has said to him. God was admonishing him, not so much him directly, but it is more important to understand that he was admonishing the Arab people who had that seriously, who had that problem as a serious problem in their makeup. Prophet Muhammad had it only as a slight problem. He did it without conscience. He was consciously trying to obey God. He was consciously trying to bring a big fellow, a following, to God. In doing so, he followed the habit of a people who had a serious problem in them. So God spoke to their serious problem through Prophet Muhammad. But still, Prophet Muhammad is being directed before the people by the God that is speaking to him. So when the blind man came to him, he frowned and turned away because he was in haste. He was hurrying up to talk to a group of leaders who would do strong, who to do strong members of the society that he thought that if I convince these people can help me bring the small people around, you see? So he overlooked something, and God reprimanded him openly before the people. And his intentions were so pure that he didn't say, I can't tell the people this revelation. It came out so that purity of intentions are very, very important. If we would just purify and make our intentions right, then Allah, then Almighty God will come into our lives and guide us. But will you yourself guide someone that you saw bad intentions in and were against you? No, you wouldn't guide him. Intention is served Allah only. So there are some of you who show to me, oh, I have learned so much. I've advanced in so many areas. When I look at you, I see one thing missing. I don't see in you a purity of intention. I don't see in you the desire to serve divine will and divine will only. I see in some of you the desire to make yourself big. So I say, yes, brother, you're a wonderful man. Go on, keep going. If we can just make our intention right, and that act needs only one hand, one stroke, one wife. Is that right? One wife will do that, brother. The society doesn't have to help you with that. You know your intentions. The society doesn't know your intentions. So if you would just make up your mind and make one stroke, say, I'm going to conform to God's will in my intentions, and God will enter your ear and direct your life and will help you in your walk of life. He will help you in everything you have to do. He doesn't have to speak but once. And we don't have to open our ears but once. But it has to be a total commitment. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayat 1 to 2, he frowned. Darwin find a way to treat the condition rather than teach the condition. So I can see that happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up things to us, and we can become very, very productive in many, many ways, especially culture, religious literature, but also fictional literature. So we can become very productive. That's what others did. So why should not we? They came into knowledge, and they made their contribution to the world and profited and are still profiting much from the contribution, their knowledge to the world. So there are so many ways now you can reach human hearts, souls, and minds to bring about positive change and reform without coming directly from Scripture to try to convert people. In this time, that is not the way. Try to find a way to treat the condition rather than to teach the condition. So we have the knowledge to treat the condition. Let us do it. They do not have any ear for teaching. They are all deaf and dumb. The world has turned them off. They are not interested in what you have to say. You're going to teach them about Scripture? They don't want that. The only people who want that are those who are already devoted to Scripture. Well, what about the blind man? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. the big people had attracted him because he knew that they were not directly accepting right guidance. So they were not having their life directed correctly, but he knew that they were not ignorant. They were not blind. It didn't say that the people he was going to were blind. They were informed rich people. What is the difference between the people he was attracted to and the people that he did not have time for? Some could see, and this one could not see. So the blind man is not really blind. He just cannot see the way. He cannot see how to make it in the world. So he was going to those big shots who knew how to make it in the world. And you want them to become Muslims, can be rightly guided. Well, about who you are just walking past to get to them. They are all in your way. They are everywhere. So what about those who you are walking past to get to those special people you want to convert because you think they will turn your mission into success right away? So he was rebuffed by God for making the wrong decision. His heart was right. He wanted to bring big results to Al-Islam quick, but it was not just. So Jesus did not teach. He treated the condition. So we have the blind man all around us, right? Blind people all around us. So let us be like Christ Jesus, treat the condition. He did not teach the blind man. He took mud and put some spit into it and rubbed it on his eye and let it sit there a while. And the blind man said, I can see. So inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, God has blessed us to come to the right strategy. So we have the strategy, we have the medicine. It's going to take us a little time, but I believe in a little while, the proper or the paper is going to open up for us. So the Quran Surah 4, Ayat 159, believe in Jesus before his death. The Quran Surah 80, Ayat 37, each will be concerned with his own self. Matthew 10:38, whoever take not his cross is not of me. So each person takes his own burden or cross responsibility. So we have to accept that time in the future promises us less and less from government and from other people, it says. There is coming a time when every soul will have enough problems of its own not to be bothered with others. So this is Quran, and that time is here. Everybody has enough problems of their own not to be bothered with your problems. So Jesus took upon himself a cross, didn't he? And that cross was his cross. But he asked of his followers that each of them take upon themselves their cross. And it's the tradition of Christians to wear crosses because this is what he left with them. Now, what does that say that every individual must bear his own cross? God holds Muhammad, the prophet, president, and peace be upon him, responsible for the office he gave him. He had him responsible for that. Individual responsibility is cross. So he, as an individual, had an individual responsibility to God for the office that God entrusted him with. So in Christianity, that is his cross. That's Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him's cross. So his individual responsibility that God gave him is his cross. For us, the responsibility that God created us, for us as individuals, is our cross. So listen, please. This is very important. So cross means self is in balance. So when you look at a cross, what do you see? It's really a picture of two things balanced, or two things, because these two things must become reconciled in man at the same point, if he is to have the great life that God created for him, or him for, pardon me. It's symbolic of you firstly see man, arms outstretched. It's a cross. It's exactly what it is. So when they put Jesus on the cross, really, he himself is the cross, because Jesus is the cross. That means himself in balance. So the tightrope walker, he has to stretch his arms like that to stay balanced on the tightrope. So we know the cross has more than one meaning. It has several meanings, and this is one of its most important meanings, that it means that I should say its first and most important meaning is that this individual is in perfect balance. Cross means Jesus lived life in the balance before God. So this crucifix appears to be when the man is here looking pitiful and brutalized, looking dripping, blood dripping from the thorns in his head and the holes in his hands and feet showing blood. This is a sign of cruelty, misery. It makes us feel sad. But the Quran wants us to see that this is an appearance to hide another appearance. This is a picture to hide another picture. Now, under this picture of sadness, of torture, of cruelty, is another meaning. It means that Jesus lived all of his life in perfect balance before God. That's what it means. So that his life was perfectly balanced before his Lord, and he died a Muslim. He died in a perfect balance in the Muslim nature, upright. That's what it means. So this is the real cross. The other cross hides this cross. It makes this cross the cross that says Jesus died in the perfect balance. He said they are going to kill him, crucify him. He said this is the purpose for which he sent me into the world. You're going to crucify me, kill me, to give my all, including life? If I have to make the ultimate sacrifice, I will make it and remain faithful to my Lord, never betraying him, never slacking, never shortchanging him. Then God will restore me that I died in the perfect balance. So you didn't kill me. I came here to do this. This is my purpose. You didn't kill me. I gave my life. I gave you my life. You didn't take it. God sent me in the world to give it for his cause, and I gave it. How can you take what I gave to God? Are you listening to me? How can you take what I came to give to my God in obedience, even if it means losing my life? Such a shaheed is never killed, never crucified. He's obedient to his God, and he will give his all rather to disobey his law. So the Quran, Surah 80, Ayah 37. Each one concerned with his own. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We are coming to the conclusion of our time, and we will continue this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, it only means if it please God at 7 p.m. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.